In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told to them. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you've found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them, until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way.
In the beginning
was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Why don't we pray as Roger comes to bring us a reflection from the Word this evening. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for your words, Lord. I thank you for your Spirit that's here with us tonight. And I pray that your Spirit would fill Roger as he comes to bring all that he's prepared and share it with us. And I pray that his words would be your words to us, that we might hear something from you to take away into our week this week. So bless him and anoint him as he speaks in Jesus' name. Amen.
We observed and experimented in many ways in order to predict world events, their politics, and their outcomes. Many people even called us kings, kings of learning and of truth, they would say. Yes, we were a privileged class. However, to tell the truth, we didn't always predict too successfully. But we were convinced, nonetheless, that heavenly forces affected movements on earth. And if there was any light to our light of our path, it must come from the outside to lighten everything that goes on inside, and everything that there is, and everything that happens. We were philosophers as well as budding scientists, so it was to the stars that we still looked, believing it better to follow whatever light we might have, however little it might be, trusting it would bring us into more. And indeed it did. We had observed shooting stars before. Their paths were what we termed their risings as we watched their movements. Of course, we hadn't become aware of those in those days of black holes and retreating galaxies over the horizon of curved space to distract our attention from the moving star which caught our attention. We continued to observe this phenomenon and consulted our records, particularly those from our neighbouring country of Babylon, which we had conquered so many years before, and apprehended their libraries to safeguard the learning for posterity, of course. It appeared that certain seer called Balaam, who had lived on the sacred river of the Euphrates, had prophesied, "A star will come forth from Jacob, and a scepter shall rise from Israel." This Jacob was the founder of Israel, and he'd prophesied about a scepter not departing from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs. This word my colleague Melchior assured me was spoken at least 1.5 centuries before and Judah before this, and Judah, or the Jews, were still waiting for that ruler. Quite a few of us, not just three, were so excited that we thought we ought to travel to King Herod of Judah and pay our respects to such an important person who had been foretold so long ago and for so long. Another one of our guild, Caspar, by some remembered chance, that there was a Jewish book written in Persia. It was only 600 years old, to be true, but it was written by one of our politicians, a cabinet minister or a prime minister or something like that. No matter what, these politicians change their jobs and their portfolios so quickly, almost like jack-in-a-boxes, but I don't know how they get their heads around a new assignment to do a decent job. We scientists have to apply ourselves to study and work hard all our lives to do a good, thorough work. You may have heard of Tony Flew. His father was a religious man, but not Tony. I call him Tony for affection. He was an atheist for around 80 years, and only then came to be a theist, that is, a believer in God. That's real hard work. Einstein, have you heard of him? He's another one of our paid-up members. I quote him, "My religiosity consists of a humble admiration of the infinitely superior spirit who reveals himself in the slight details we're able to perceive with our frail and feeble minds. That deeply emotional conviction of the presence of a supreme reasoning power which is revealed in the incomprehensible universe, and this forms my idea of God." Darwin is another one of our band, but I'm not sure, did he pay up his subscriptions? Oh, well, let him speak for himself. I quote, "Reason tells me of the extreme difficulty, or rather the impossibility, of conceiving that this immense and wonderful universe, including man, and his capability of looking backwards as far and looking into the future in great distance, as the result of blind chance or necessity. When thus reflecting, I feel compelled," says Darwin, "to look at the first cause, having an intelligent mind in some degree analogous to that of man. And I deserve to be called a theist," somebody who believes in God. We must admit that one or two of our crowd have not had a very good press, but we do have to work hard. But back to my story. This politician named Daniel prophesied that a great anointed savior would come some 483 years after the rebuilding of Jerusalem, the capital of the Jews. Now that time had roughly passed, and we thought it must be time to go and pay our respects. Following the light, the star shone on our way, and we were led to a house in Bethlehem, Judea. It's not much of a place, but it was a bit better than the stable we later heard was his birthplace. We went in and we saw the child with his mother. She didn't look much like a queen, mind you, nor his father a king when we met him. But we did know, nevertheless, that we had indeed arrived. I'm not sure how you do know this, but you do, don't you? The light inside us, the star shining above us, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Yes, that was his name, Jesus, Savior. "For he shall save his people from their sins." I wanted to know my sins forgiven and their grip on me broken, removing them from my life. So I've been one of his people since that day. "For he shall save his people from their sin." We'd brought some gifts for the family. Seeing that a recession had just set in, I thought a bit of gold, amongst other things, wouldn't come amiss. A more stable currency, really. Dreams from God took us back to Persia and the royal family to Egypt to avoid another politician putting us in jail and murdering children. Well, we were known as wise men. So we listened to God and obeyed, which is all and everything that it seems to me such people like us should do, and anyone for that matter. It was because we were wise men, we came to Jesus in the first place and gave him first place in our lives.
Lord, we pray that you would let your wonderful light break forth on our minds, Lord Jesus. Lord, some of us, we have such wrong ideas about you and about who you are. Lord, would you just shine the light of your truth into our thinking? We can see you for who you truly are, our Saviour and our friend. The one who forgives our sins, frees us from the power of the enemy. Lord, some of us have got deep questions, things we don't understand, things we want answers for from you. Lord, would you let your light shine? Illuminate us, Lord. Bring us clarity and understanding. Help us to see, Lord, that your truth is reasonable. It is possible to fathom out with our minds who you are, Lord. Because you help us, your Spirit guides us into all truth. So, Lord, where we have deep-seated questions, or where we have confusion or mistaken ideas, Lord, let your light just shine. Shine on our minds. That we can see truly and clearly. Fill us with your Spirit, we pray. And may this Christmas be one where light breaks forth from our lives, out into a dark world that's out there. It needs your light, Lord. Let it shine through us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. going to sing our final carol together, and the stewards are going to take up an offering as we do. So let's stand together and worship our Lord Jesus. Well, we've come to the end of our program for this evening, but you're very welcome to stay behind because we've got some tea and coffee to serve to you up here, and some Christmas refreshments, which will hopefully get you talking to one another and sharing with one another as we finished earlier than usual this evening. Let's make the most of this opportunity to chat and to have fellowship together. And we are very grateful for all the offerings that you've given to us. So I'm going to pray for these offerings that have been given to the Lord, and then I'm going to say a blessing as we finish. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for all that's been given tonight, Lord. We thank you that this money here represents our hearts and our worship and our lives given over to you. We pray that you would take this, Lord, and help us to use it and steward it wisely. Lord, may we use it for your kingdom's growth in this nation, in this city, in this area, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. Fantastic. Enjoy the Christmas refreshments and each other. God bless you.